And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of The Awakening here on American Family Radio. It's great to be with you again today. Folks, we've got a lot to cover in this hour, so really relax, buckle in, get ready for a very, very serious discussion about some very important topics. So first of all, I want to thank all of you for your prayers and your support for our dinner. At the time I'm recording this, the dinner is not yet over, but I know it was a successful event. So thank you all for your prayers. Thank you for your support. And thank you to American Family Radio and American Family Association for sponsoring the dinner, helping us pull it off. And thank all of you AFR listeners who showed up at the dinner. It was good to see you. I'll have more details on the next time on the program, but I just want to say thank you to all of you as always. God bless each and every one of you. So appreciative and so grateful to you. Now, we've had some very, very big news this past week. Maybe some of it stretches into just beyond a week. First of all, the Supreme Court, of course, struck down a majority-minority district, and has really, at this point, begun to say, thank God, has finally begun to say, it is unconstitutional to create a congressional district based on race. Now, the left is tearing their hair out. This is Jim Crow. These people are completely and totally nuts. And I'll tell you, folks, please share this with anybody, any American you know, of African ancestry, to help them see through the racial hysteria that is being built around this. Al Sharpton and Donna Brazile and this crazy senator from Tennessee, this Pearson. America's a white supremacist nation and Donald Trump's a white supremacist. I mean, they're just going crazy. And here's the reality, folks. Again, follow the logic to its ultimate conclusion. So shouldn't we have a white congressional districts where only white people could get elected to represent that district where it's predominantly or majority white? Shouldn't we have Asian congressional districts or Indian congressional districts or Hispanic congressional districts where only a person of that particular ethnic or ancestral background can represent that group? Well, of course, that's absurd. That is antithetical to everything this country represents, which is why I say to have expected the Supreme Court to understand this logic when they first when they decided the first case for the Voting Rights Act, in which they declared majority-minority districts to be an appropriate remedy to the denial of the right to vote in the past. They were wrong then. And it's been wrong ever since. But I understand the emotion and the pressure to do it, but it was wrong. What they should have done was simply said, what we are guaranteeing is not the right to be represented by a particular person of a particular race. What we're guaranteeing is the right to vote and the right to participate and the right to organize and the right to have people who share your worldview participating in the political arena. That's the right we're guaranteeing. We're not guaranteeing any ethnic group's right to have a person of their ethnic group necessarily representing them. I think that would have happened organically. And instead of all this racial division and these segregated congressional districts, you would have had people of all backgrounds representing districts of all backgrounds. It's like right now, you would have had black congressmen, congresswomen representing majority white districts or majority Hispanic districts or white congressmen representing majority black districts, because people would have been focused on the issues rather than focusing on the color of the skin of the person that is running for office. That's the way it should have been. that would have produced a much healthier America. But we went the easy route. And now the Supreme Court is trying to correct it, and you've got people just absolutely going apoplectic. It's the end of the world. We're going back to Ku Klux Klan's in charge. I mean, it's just crazy. Well, what we're doing is correcting something that should have never happened in the first place. Because you don't really get to compete in the marketplace of ideas in a normal, healthy way when you buy into the notion that what's most important is that the person representing a particular congressional district should be the person of the ethnicity of the majority of the people of that district. That is wrong, 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 1,000 times wrong on every level and for any group. It is wrong. Now, of course, it happens. You get a district with the majority of Hispanic people in it, you'll often end up with an Hispanic representing them. And there's nothing wrong when that happens organically. What you shouldn't have is people drawing districts to say, we got to make sure, we got to guarantee that a Hispanic person represents these people. No, absolutely not. And once again, as I've said before, folks, it's going to take about another 25 years, based on my calculations. But that moment is coming. If Jesus tarries, if Jesus doesn't come back, and sometimes I think, Lord, you may need to come back today, given the craziness that's going on. But if he tarries, if he does not come back within that time, it'll take 25 years. But in 25 years, there will not be a single person alive who experienced Jim Crow. Not a single person. And when these people start crying Jim Crow, there won't be anybody. People will be saying, well, what are they talking about? I mean, a lot of young people, what is that? I mean, a lot of young people are probably saying that now. But then there won't be anybody to say, well, I lived through that. People have to say, well, that was a time when, and there were people who, but nobody will be alive who can say, yeah, I experienced that. When does the statute of limitations run on the black victimization mentality? When does it run? When do we begin to think of ourselves as Americans first and foremost in terms of our national identity? I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, a Christian first and foremost, but as a matter of national identity, I am an American. I am not an African American because I've never been to Africa. I'm not from Africa. For the last 200, maybe 250 years, my ancestors have been here. So that's almost as long as this country has been in existence. I said, my great-grandfather was born the year before George Washington died. And that means his parents had to have been here already. So that takes me back. He died in 1799. So that takes me back, 227 years. So go back another at least 25, 50 years. My ancestry in this country goes back 225, 275 years. I'd love to visit Africa. I mean, there's things about it that I think are fascinating. I think it's a terrible place to live, and I certainly wouldn't want to live there. I mean, and I'm not apologizing for that. I wouldn't want to live there. But I hope before I leave this earth, I have an opportunity to visit and see how people live there. And just, you know, because that's where my ancestors, most of my ancestors came from. Of course, some of my ancestors came from Europe. I don't know which ones. I'm about 25% British DNA. But none of that defines who I am. Who I am is a born-again, spirit-filled believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is who I am. I am a man of God. I am a godly man. I'm a godly husband. I'm a godly father. I'm a godly grandfather. I'm a godly man. That's my identity. I identify first and foremost with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my identity. And everything else is window dressing, frankly. I mean, it certainly goes to where God wanted me to be and who God wanted me to be. And so I am not, can't say I'm proud because I didn't have anything to do with it. But I'm grateful because I know God didn't make any mistakes. So wanted to get that out of the way. We had another great victory. And we had another great victory. That was a victory of the Supreme Court. Praise God for it. Another great victory. And folks, I prayed for this. I prayed for this the moment the referendum in Virginia passed. And I knew that thing was an abomination. I mean, that thing was horrible. It was, and the first judge, a district judge, to review it said they violated the Constitution on two counts. One, it was intentionally deceptive. The judge said that the referendum in Virginia to turn Virginia into 10 Democrat districts and one Republican district, he said, was intentionally misleading. Intentionally. That, again, you've heard me say it. That's a euphemistic judge's nice way of saying you're a bunch of liars. You lied. Intentionally misleading. You lied. And then secondly, he said you did not meet the notice requirements of the Virginia Constitution. The Virginia Constitution requires that before a referendum can be put forward to the people, it requires a 90-day notice from the time it was passed. And I believe that means from the time the governor signs it. Well, they didn't have 90 days, not from the time it passed in the House, nor from the time the governor signed it. They only had about 60 days from the time it passed in the House and 30 days from the time the governor signed it. And they put it before the people, and it was struck down. It's gone. The Virginia Supreme Court has struck it down. They're not going to get the Supreme Court of the United States to change it. It's over. Praise God. A great victory. A great victory against the lies that are being perpetrated against our country. You know, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And I've said, if that means anything, it's got to mean that lies put you and keep you in bondage. Right? Because otherwise, what is the truth liberating you from? Lies put you and keep you in bondage. And these lies have been keeping people in bondage. And really, again, the Democrat Party being the primary perpetrator of these lies has been keeping people in bondage now. Well, if you really want to be honest about it, keeping people in bondage since the days of slavery, because they haven't changed. They're still trying to collect people and enslave those people to their warped ideology. They're still doing it. They put a patina of compassion and just racial justice and social justice and all that nonsense. That stuff is nothing but propaganda, because the reality is that they're using these euphemisms and these lofty sounding words to cover up a base, gross obsession with power. That's all it is. And that's what slavery is, isn't it? Slavery is the ultimate power over people. The spirit of the Democrat Party, the Democrat Party, if you will, has not changed. People say, well, yeah, they try to buy votes. No, they buy people. You buy the people, you get the votes. So praise God that some truth is emerging. Now, here's what I want to discuss in the time I've got left. And that's why I said, boy, I had a lot to cover. I want to ask a question. And I want you to grapple with this question with me. Will America survive? Will America survive? Yeah, I keep hearing these leftists say, we're at war, we're at war. The fact of the matter is, in some ways, they are right. We are in a war over the spiritual, moral, and cultural character of this nation. There's no question about that. I hope that war never becomes kinetic. That would be a civil war. I hope it never becomes kinetic. But there is no question that, we are engaged in a great civil battle right now. Now, these historians have argued that the famous book by this British author, who argued that empires collapse after about 250 years. And we are coming up to the 250th anniversary of our country. The question is, are we going to, just absolutely smash through that 250-year period and keep going, keep growing, keep moving forward, keep thriving? Or are we even now seeing the signs of precipitous decline? Now, don't get me wrong, folks. I really believe what my good friend Andrew Womack says. I believe it because the Lord spoke it to me. We are in a time of awakening, and we're seeing signs of that. I believe Turning Point USA is part of that. I believe the overturning of Roe v. Wade is part of that. I believe that the revivals we see springing up at colleges and universities around the country are part of that. I believe that the growing awareness, at least by many Christians, of how that we are in, not in a so much in a political battle, but rather in a spiritual battle. The political battle is simply symptomatic, of the spiritual battle that we are in, but this is ultimately a spiritual battle. That awareness, that awakening, all of that, I really believe is part of an awakening, part of a revival that is going on in our country. The question is that revival going to have such a dramatic change in the direction of our country that we end up casting the poisonous and pernicious and destructive ideas that the left and the, again, the Democrat Party are pushing on the country? Are we going to cast those on the dung heap of history and move forward and simply look back on those as anomalies, as relics of a dangerous but bygone era? That's really the question. Because if those ideas in this great struggle, if those ideas end up prevailing, the country is doomed. Let me give you two things that are prerequisite. And I'm going to come at this the negative way first. I'm going to come back to the positive way. But two things that are prerequisite to this country's destruction. And we see both of them operating right now. The first one is Psalm 9, I believe it's 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Now, that's a verse I've quoted quite a bit, because what that says is a nation that forgets God will be turned into hell, or Sheol. Now, I don't believe that that means God's going to pick up a nation and drop it into hell, although I don't have any doubt God could do that too, because God saves individuals ultimately. And no matter what happens to a nation, if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to be saved, even if that nation, shall we say, is not. But I don't believe that's what the scripture is getting at. I believe what it's getting at is that a nation that forgets God starts to look like Sheol, starts to look like hell. And of course, we've got examples of that everywhere. And we've seen it everywhere communism's been tried. Cuba, Haiti, everywhere. Haiti's full of voodoo and witchcraft. And there's no question in my mind, Haiti's a nation that's been turned into hell. North Korea is a nation that's been turned into hell. Cambodia is a nation that's been turned into hell. I think they're coming back from that now. They seem to be, I think they're making some progress, but remember, I mean, that was a nation walking into Cambodia was like walking literally through the gates of hell. That's how bad it was. Venezuela's been turned into hell. Do I need to go on? A nation that forgets God starts to look like hell. And there are people in our country right now who desperately want America to forget God. cast God aside. We don't want God's rules. We don't want God's morals. We don't want God's vision. We don't want submission to or obedience to God. We don't want God's word. We don't want anything about God. These forces are telling us America's going to be a better place when God is no longer in the picture. But the scripture says something different. The scripture says when God is no longer in the picture for a nation, that nation is going to look like hell. And believe me, folks, that's not going to be fun for anybody, including the people who thought they were going to be better off by getting God out of the picture. It's going to be just the opposite. Just the opposite. So that's one scripture. And the second you've heard me quote is Matthew 12:25. I'm turning to these as I'm reading them. I know them by heart, but I'm turning to these as I'm reading them because I'm hoping you will take a look at them and meditate on them yourself. In Matthew 12:25, it says, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Now that word kingdom, the word basileia, that is a word that means a government construct. You know, there are two words that are used sometimes to refer to what we would call nations. Kingdom is one, and the other one is nation. But the word nation is always the translation of the word ethnos. Kingdom is a more of a legal construct or a geographical construct. Ethnos is more of a cultural, shall we say, or ethnic construct. Jesus said a kingdom, and America is a kingdom from a biblical perspective, divided against itself, is brought to desolation. Is brought to desolation. And then, of course, he goes on to say a house, a city or a house divided against itself will not stand. And we got people at work in this country who desperately want us to be divided against ourselves. They want to turn America into a country who forgets God. And they want us to be divided against ourselves racially, by gender, by economic class, you name it. They keep coming up with new reasons for us to divide and to tribalize. Folks, tribalism ended because it didn't work. Look, Europe was made up of tribes. Africa was made up of tribes. The whole world was tribal. The whole world was tribal. It didn't work. People found greater safety, security, progress in creating larger conglomerations, which initially were city-states. You know, big cities with the walls around them. Those were kind of the states. But eventually became empires, like the Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, and that kind of thing. Because they found greater safety, greater security, and greater progress and greater power in conglomerating into larger groups, overcoming the tribal differences and creating larger groups of people who were unified. Now we know the fracturing that happened, the civil wars that happened, the things that happened, because often that construct was artificial. And that people weren't accustomed to it. They were accustomed to identifying with their tribe, not with some transcendent group that included many tribes. But ultimately, the nation state overcame tribalism and nations became far more prevalent than tribalism. But the left is trying to turn America back into a tribal nation. There's no other way of saying it. That's what they're trying to do. The white tribe, the black tribe, the Hispanic tribe, the homosexual tribe, whatever. And the homosexuality is not a, well, they kind of turned themselves into a tribe, but that's just an abnormality. That's not like people from different ancestral backgrounds and therefore having different outward physical characteristics. Homosexuality is an abnormality that transcends all cultures. Because it is the result of sin and the fallenness of human beings that they reject the natural order of God and establish their own moral and sexual order. That's what that's all about. That's so. But of course, the left tries to include them because they want to legitimize everything wrong and pretty much delegitimize anything that's right. So God created two genders. The left says, no, 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 no. See, that's wrong. You are so busy. You are so bigoted. You are so narrow-minded. No, no, no. Don't you know there are 135 genders? I said, it's not because these people are mentally crazy, but they are morally crazy. Really, they are morally insane. Morally, they have completely lost touch with reality. So those are the two factors. You put those two things together and you got a formula for the destruction of the United States of America. And the left is working on trying to do both. Trying to completely eliminate God from the picture. Okay? And trying to divide us. Now, let me give you the two ideals. So those things have to be beat back. But let me give you the two ideals that are going to lead to. I'm going to give you two ideals and we have five issues that we have to overcome in order to have another 250 years if Jesus tarries. I don't believe he'll tarry that long, mind you. I don't know the day or the hour. Nobody does. But I don't believe it'll be that long. But for however long it's going to be, here are the two ideals and five issues that we need to address and that we need to succeed at. Here's the two ideals. We need to restore our national commitment to God. Thank God for the National Day of Prayer. Thank God for President Trump calling May 17th a day of rededication of America to God. Praise God for it. Thank God for Thanksgiving Day, for Christmas, for celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which unfortunately there are people who don't want to include that even in the holiday, and that's what the holiday is all about. And thank God for Resurrection Sunday when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank God that we are a nation that celebrates these things. Thank God for the Ten Commandments. Thank God for all of that. I think we have 400,000 churches in America. Thank God for the true churches, that is, not all of them, but the true churches, which is only about 25%. Only about 100,000 authentic churches in this country, churches that actually believe the Bible is the word of God and are actually preaching and teaching what thus says the Lord, rather than preaching and teaching what thus says the New York Times and Newsweek and you know, the SPCG movement, the sexual perversion child grooming movement, otherwise known as the LGBTQ plus alphabet movement, which is just evil and an abomination to God. So we've got to restore commitment to God. That means restoring a commitment to God's word as authoritative and is the final authority on all matters of morality. The final authority. That needs to predominate in our country. So that when somebody says there's 175 genders, we laugh and look at that person like, this person needs treatment. That's too bad that somebody's that confused. Or a person says, well, gender is fluid. That person needs treatment. And you know, when you got these people like Chuck Todd and others making these stupid remarks, and because they think they're so elite and they're so enlightened and they're just as dumb as, they're dumber than Jesse James was bad by far. Some people might even think Jesse James wasn't that bad, but you know he was. Jesse James was bad. But these people are just, they are monumentally dumb. They're fools, because whether they would admit they've rejected God, when you reject God's order, you reject God. You can't say, well, I believe in God, but I believe in homosexuality. I believe in abortion. I don't believe the Bible is God's word. Whatever. It doesn't work that way. Jesus said, he that loves me keeps my commandments or keeps my word. If you don't keep God's word, you don't love him. and saying that you love him, but you reject his word and reject his truth and all of that, and reject the truth, I mean, you're a liar. You're lying to yourself and you're lying to others. So that's one, restoring commitment to God, and that means commit to his word. And here's the second ideal, the two ideals, restoring the family as God designed it. Restoring the family as God designed it. You know, our organization has something called the Family Restoration Institute, and it is, the Family Restoration Institute is dedicated. In fact, I'll share with you what the mission and vision of the Family Restoration Institute are. The mission of the Family Restoration Institute is to restore the family as God designed it. Period. To restore the family as God designed it. Society is healthiest and individuals tend to flourish and reach their highest potential when raised by one man and one woman in the holy covenant of marriage, modeling obedience to God and love for one another. That's it. And the vision of the Family Restoration Institute is an American culture which affirms that family as God created it is the most important institution of society. Not the government, not even the church, but the family. The family is where the values that we hold dear are supposed to be handed down. And without restoring the family, folks, any other victory we think for the survival of this country is going to be a Pyrrhic victory. Because without the family, there's no ability to hand down from one generation to another the values that calls our nation, our country, to be cohesive, to be unified. We must unify around a set of values. I can't unify with people who believe the opposite of what I believe. It's not possible. Jesus said, or the Word of God says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? I believe that's in Amos 6:8. But you know what that means? That word agreed there is a word that means meeting at a common point. How can two walk together unless they first meet at a common point? Well, there are people in our country today who don't want us to meet at a common point. That was wrong. I gave you the wrong site there, but I'll find it for you. But at any rate, you know it's in there, right? Oh, here we go. You know it's in there. How can two walk together except they agree? Unless they meet at a common point, they can't walk together. They can't walk together. Okay, well, wait a minute. Hold on. I know this is probably not good practice. Here we go. It's Amos. It's Amos 3:3, actually. Amos 3:3. Got it for you. How can two walk together except that? I think I was thinking of Micah 6:8, which is, he has shown thee, O man, what is good. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? And the answer is no, they can't, because they've got to meet at a certain point. You know, when I was in Boston, people used my church was right in the heart of the ghetto, right in the heart of the what they call the hood now, the black community. And you know, Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, they were all active out handing out there, whatever these stupid newspapers they were handing out, all that trash, all that garbage they were spewing, just absolute lies and garbage. The answer's for the black man, yeah, right. Here's how you go to, they might as well title the thing, you want to go to hell? Here's how you do it. Because that's all that was, and I was having none of it. So they would, you know, when they had the Million Man March and all the different things they would try to do, and I would, not me. I denounced the Million Man March. I famously said, I said I wouldn't follow Louis Farrakhan across the street, let alone to D.C. because he's a false prophet, he's a liar, and he's leading people to hell. Oh my goodness. There was no email then. Talk about the hate mail I got. Woo! I mean, it came in the droves. People who claim to be Christians, you don't understand. We're doing something for black men. This is going to change things. Yeah, well, you know what? Chicago is still the most dangerous city for a black man to live in all the United States of America. And guess who lives there? Louis Farrakhan. How much did it improve things for the black man? Exactly as much as I said it would, predicted it would before then. Zip. Zero. Nada. The problem of the social problems in the inner city and in our country generally are not driven by race or poverty. They're driven by breakdown of the family. And we're not going to have a prosperous, fruitful nation beyond 250 years if we don't address this issue. Now, STAND is addressing this issue with the Family Restoration Institute. And remember, our mission is to bring Americans together across racial and cultural lines to uphold our Judeo-Christian values and heritage as one nation under God. And under that, the Family Restoration Institute is part of that Judeo-Christian value vision that we have for our country, that every American really ought to have, and once we did. So we're addressing these two ideals, calling people back to God and back to those Judeo-Christian values, the most central of which, other than faith, is family. Now here's the four issues, and I've got enough time to get these. I meant to say five. So a total of seven. Two ideals, five issues. Total of seven principles. Here's number one that we've got to deal with if we're going to be a prosperous and blessed nation. We've got to stop killing our unborn babies. We must create a culture of life. The left has created a culture of death in America, so much so that people celebrate the killing of an unborn baby. Celebrate it. It's an abomination. It is sick. It is a violation not only of all that is holy and right, it is a violation of the natural order of things, where in the normal course, every parent, mother, father, would give their lives to spare their children, to protect their children, to defend their children's right to live without any hesitation. And you've got people so twisted up that they think it's something to celebrate, to kill your progeny, to kill your own posterity, kill it. And then go out and celebrate it and brag about it. Shout your abortion, which just goes to prove Oprah Winfrey may be the dumbest billionaire there's ever been. Yeah, billionaires can be dumb. Just because a person does something that earns them a lot of money doesn't mean they're smart or wise. It just means they do that particular thing well. And the society has rewarded them for doing that particular thing. But other than that, they could be dumb as a rock, and she is. Well, Elon Musk, if he remains an atheist, is a fool. The Bible defines, I mean, the guy knows how to build cars, and he knows how to build rockets or organize people to build cars and rockets. But as far from the biblical perspective, since he's an atheist, he's a fool. Notwithstanding all the help that he gave Donald Trump there with Doge and all that, he's still a fool. And he won't stop being a fool until he acknowledges the God who made him. So killing unborn babies has got to stop. Number two, we've got to reverse this acceptance of homosexuality as something normal and right and good. It is abnormal, it is wrong, and it is bad. Homosexuality is not normal, right, and good. It is abnormal, wrong, and bad. Now, again, that's not Bishop Jackson saying that. That is the Word of God saying that. again, if we're going to be a Judeo-Christian nation, we've got to embrace the Word of God. Now, does that mean we hate homosexuals? No. Does that mean we want to kill homosexuals? No. Does that mean we want to attack homosexuals? No. Does that mean we want to harass homosexuals? No. Does that mean we want to deny them the right to live, to work, to be productive citizens? No, none of that. It simply means we don't put our imprimatur on their behavior and say, we approve. Say to some man, how's your husband doing? Words I will never speak, because a man can't have a husband. Or to some woman, how's your wife doing? Words I will never speak, because a woman can't have a wife. It is impossible. That is moral and intellectual and mental jujitsu. It's crazy. And we just stop acting like it's good and right and normal. And by the way, we also need to go back to a point of stop acting like moving in with somebody without marriage is also good and right and normal. It's not. It's not. Now, it's normal for a man to be attracted to a woman. It's normal for a woman to be attracted to a man. It's normal for a man and a woman to have sex. But it's not good or right for them to do it outside of marriage. These are things that are going to destroy us from within by moral decay. Here's the third thing. We got to end this racial division. We've got to stop thinking of people as representatives of some racial or ethnic identity and start thinking of people as individuals. Now, I'm not saying knowing your ancestral background could not be interesting, not be a topic of conversation. I love talking to people with different backgrounds. I find it fascinating, the things that they've experienced, the different cultural realities that they've dealt with. I do. I find it fascinating. But that doesn't tell me anything about this person's decency or integrity or competence or ability or honor or perseverance or courage or virtue. Doesn't tell me anything about that. And that's what's important. The rest is fascinating, but that's what's important. So I say this stuff, I need somebody who looks like me. Well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. We got to end it. Because Jesus said, a house, a kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. You know what desolation means, don't you? It means utter annihilation. Because what? That division is a cancer that destroys it from within. Here's the fourth thing. And these last two things you probably would not expect me to say, but they need to be said. We have got to aggressively address the rising anti-Semitism in this country, because we cannot be a blessed nation if we allow this country to turn on Israel and the Jewish people and become their enemies and start attacking them and vilifying them and saying they're the root of all of our problems and they're controlling the world and they're controlling the White House and they're controlling the president. I mean, all that stuff is nothing but age-old canards that people concocted thousands of years ago that they're still using today. Whether it's Adolf Hitler or it's Nick Fuentes or it's Zoran Mamdani. Or what's this other guy's name? This idiot influencer that people keep talking about. I forget the guy's name because he's irrelevant to me. I think he's some kind of Muslim too, I think. Got a kind of a Muslim name. But stop listening to these people. And in fact, look, I am not in favor of censorship. I am practically speaking a First Amendment absolutist. I think people ought to be able to say the most offensive things. Now, not threaten violence against the president or anybody else. That's different. That's not First Amendment speech. Threatening to kill somebody is not, that's not permissible. Or in saying to other people, you know, you need to get together and kill that person. No, that's not free speech. Free speech goes to the issue of political, spiritual, and social opinions and ideas. And some of those ideas are terribly offensive. I support the right of people to express those ideas, but I will say this. If ever there were a basis for deplatforming somebody, all the YouTube took me off because I had the unmitigated gall to say, hey, you know, we ought to be able to try ivermectin if we want to. Oh, get him off. He's dangerous. Or, you know, the human immune system is probably better than the so-called shot they're giving people. Oh, get him off there. Oh, yeah, we can't let him spew that. Yeah, I mean, I got taken off for making statements like that. But the people really ought to be, in fact, I have at least been told that I didn't meet community standards when I say homosexuality is sin. I think Facebook and YouTube have given up on that one because they realize they're violating my, of course, they're not state actors, but they certainly are under the protection of the state through this limited liability that they have under the protection of the state in order to run their businesses. But they ought not be allowed to take me off for exercising my First Amendment liberty, my freedom of religion. But they've tried it. Cited me for violating community standards. Well, homosexuality is sin. That's the truth. And there's only two genders. That's the truth. And Bruce Jenner is still Bruce Jenner. Now, that's the truth. He was born a man. He's going to die a man. He's going to stand before God as a man. Now, that's the truth. And so is this guy, William Thomas. He called himself by some female name. I don't even acknowledge that mess. Oh, don't you realize you're misgendering? No. I'm properly identifying the person's true gender. Can you imagine that? You're misgendering when you call somebody by their given name, their birth name. You're misgendering them. And when you identify that a guy who you know has male plumbing, you identify him as a man, you are misgendering him. Now, yeah, that's, but talk about Isaiah 5, calling evil good, good evil, bitterness sweet and sweet bitter, darkness light and light darkness. Boy, that that's the poster child for it. We got to get rid of this stuff. I'd get rid of the people. I'm not talking about hurting people. Not talking about harming people, not talking about harassing people. I've said many, many times, if I saw someone attacking a homosexual because that person's homosexual, I would be the first to step in and do something about it. Israel, again, the anti-Semitism and the accusations, is Israel perfect? No, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. America's not perfect. But Bible says, he that touches Israel touches the apple of God's eye. We got to put a stop, deplatform these people who want to come on and talk about the Jews being the problem of America and the problem of the scourge of the earth and they're behind everything. They control the banking and they control. Give me a break. Give me a break. I mean, that stuff, people ought to be too smart to believe that stupidity. But that's simple-minded thinking for people who need simple answers to the complex problems of the world. And it's led to genocides against the Jewish people, expelling Jewish people from nations in which they were thriving and playing an essential role in that nation's economy. And you got these people imbued with this anti-Semitic insanity. And we got to get the Jews out. We got to expel them. Well, we got to force them to convert. And then here's the final one. So abortion, homosexuality, racial division, Israel, and here's the final one. Constitutionally limited government. We got to come back to acknowledgement of the fact that our founding fathers gave us a brilliant system, and that system was intended to limit the power of government. And these people, like these Democrats today, who think that government ought to be able to do anything it wants to do, and everybody else ought to sit down, shut up, and let them do it. And the system the founding fathers created was exactly the opposite, that government, the federal government particularly, but this is true, the spirit of this should be true in the states, has certain enumerated powers, and those are all. And government can't do whatever it wants to do. Whatever good idea somebody comes up with, government doesn't have the authority to do it because it's a good idea. I didn't like the idea of President Trump even floating the idea of taking over Spirit Airlines. That's not government's role. What the Biden administration should have done was let the Spirit and JetBlue alone and let them merge when they were trying to merge, and you'd have saved probably 17,000 jobs and created a better, a stronger, low-fare company rather than losing one to bankruptcy and annihilation, because that's what's happened. Government ought to stay out of stuff to the fullest extent possible unless the Constitution mandates government's involvement. We are a constitutional republic, not a democracy. Let me tell you something, folks. This referendum that the Democrats tried to pass here in Virginia, it just goes to show their attitude about government, which is, once we get power, we can do whatever we want. You can't tell me, with all the lawyers that work in the Democrat Party, that they didn't know that they were violating the notice rule for that referendum. You can't tell me they didn't know that. You can't tell me somebody didn't say, well, you know, you're not meeting the notice requirement. And somebody didn't say, who's going to care? Who's going to, well, let's just get it passed. Nobody's going to notice that. And even if they challenge it, we'll get it before our liberal judge, and the judge will figure out some way to justify it. I think that's their attitude. And when the judge says you intentionally misled people, and by the way, the Virginia Supreme Court agreed, they said, but that's not quite the way it is. Who cares? We can do whatever we want to do. And once we get it passed and people see how great it is, they won't care. Yeah, we're going to be disenfranchising half the population of Virginia. Well, they don't need to be enfranchised because they're deplorables. They're stupid. They're people who probably voted for Donald Trump. We don't need those people to be able to vote anyway. We don't need them having representation anyway. I mean, that's their attitude. It is the very thing George Washington warned us against. Overweening ambition and corrupt morals. I'll read you the statement that George Washington made. I've read it from time to time. As we come to 250th, I'll get it out there for you and let you hear what George Washington, at least what he was thinking. He didn't utter these words at his, I think this is his final inauguration. He didn't utter these words. I'm sorry, this was, I think, his parting speech. He didn't utter these words then, which was it? You know what? I think it was actually his second inaugural address. But again, he didn't utter the words, but he wrote the words. He was thinking them. And James Madison, being tended to be his editor, probably said, that's pretty negative. Let's leave that out. And he did. But it was found in his notes. And that's what he warned against. He said, even the Constitution will not be able to withstand overwhelming ambition and corrupt morals on the part of government. Even the Constitution won't withstand it. And we see this, that's a perfect example. COVID was another one. These people do not care about the rule of law. They make these accusations against Republicans and conservatives, but that's a lie. I do care. We do care about the rule of law. That's what we're trying to uphold, because we know that that's our best protection. And people like these Democrats who don't care about it, what it means is when they decide to go after you and me, they don't care what the rules are. They don't care what due process says. They don't care what our rights are, because they're out to get us and they're going to do it no matter what it takes. Donald Trump's colluded with the Russians, and I have proof of it. So says Adam Schiff. I have the proof right here in my hands. And he was lying. Because you see, they believe government can do whatever they think is good for government to do. And if they have to lie, steal, cheat, or even kill in order to move forward their vaunted utopia, it's okay. It's moral. It's right. It's good because of where it gets you. The end ultimately justifies the means. Okay, well, I've got to go. That's going to do it. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you again so much for all that you do to uphold AFR and AFA and me and all of our hosts in prayer. We really do appreciate you and we love you. And we're grateful to God to have the opportunity to serve you. Now, let's serve our country and save our country. And you know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.